Welcome to Marvelicious Toys, hosted by Justin and his amazing friends, Arnie and Marjorie. We bring you news and reviews of Marvel toys, statues, and more, because not all Marvel collections can be bagged and boarded. They're not just toys, they're Marvelicious.
Hello and welcome to our 2012 coverage at Toy Fair New York. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Arnie.
And I am Justin.
And guys, this is our week off. I have vacation. Did someone clear this with my agent that I'm putting in overtime here?
Yeah, I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Worst craft services. I'm hungry and thirsty.
Well, as many of you probably heard last podcast, I think there were times, I just re-listened to it today, there were times when Justin kind of cut out a little bit, and people, if you think that was a post-production error, no, we couldn't hear Justin either that day.
It was a as-production error.
So, eventually, thanks to Hilton Hotel bandwidth, we just had to kind of give up, and we weren't able to bring you the kind of coverage we really wanted to for Toy Fair. So we are back to recap everything from Toy Fair, and whereas last time we were just planning on doing Hasbro, we now have the whole fair.
I'm sorry, it just sounds funny that we have the whole fair. Where's my funnel cake, bitch? I want a funnel cake.
That does sound good.
Doesn't it?
Let's go get some funnel cakes.
Yeah.
Would you settle for an Iron Man whoosh funnel that looks like a bugle accessory instead? Because we're getting some of those.
Why would I need an Iron Man funnel? To make iced tea with? What, to pour into jars?
I just don't have enough of them. That's my concern.
I've got two, and I think I've got double the amount I need.
That's just too many.
Yeah.
So that means we're getting more and more Iron Man in the Avengers line?
We're certainly going to get more Iron Man in the Avengers line. I don't know if he comes with the bugle.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a make it or break it point for me on this line.
Well, why don't we talk about the Avengers line? Now, if you listened to our last show, you got to hear the entire Hasbro brand presentation for the Marvel line, which did include the Avengers and the wonderful Avengers rap.
Can you recreate it? Because I don't remember.
No, I really can't. And they say it's going to go viral. I'm like, well, it is sick.
Here's the rap. Now push the go viral button.
This is what happens when you let 40-year-old dads be in charge of marketing.
Actually, I could see myself putting it on the iPod if they put it for a download. What can I say?
Arnie, but that's okay, because we all know you have no taste in music. That's a known fact. That's on your wiki page.
Well, they better be rapping about something, because the lack of waist and upper body articulation needs to be drawn away from my attention, because that's what I keep looking at every time I look at these figures. All I see is their non-bendy midsection.
You know, we have gone round and round on this, Justin, and I'm just not as enamored with articulation as you and some others. I do love it when they give it to us, you know, on some of those figures, and it is exciting, but I prefer a good sculpt and a really nice likeness over articulation any day. In a perfect world, I get both.
The lack of articulation in the waist and the upper body, what bothers me about it is the precedent that's being set. Because all along, starting with the Wolverine line, that's where we got the premium articulation for the most part. All those Wolverine figures were super articulated, even above and beyond what was coming out in the Marvel Universe line. Now it seems like the movie line is kind of being put on the side burner and saying, well, maybe articulation isn't so important here. Let's not worry about it too much. So I don't like that the precedent is being set that this is going to be aimed more at kids rather than also at collectors.
But do we know if that articulation problem is only for the first wave or if this is going to persist? Because I think some of the later figures in waves 2 and 3 get a little bit better than this first wave.
Yeah, a little bit better. I mean, looking at the pictures of Hawkeye and Black Widow that are coming in wave 3, articulation does get better. I mean, I can't tell you now because I don't have any of them hand, but it looked like they had ankle articulation and wrist articulation, all that. it's still that midsection that sticks out like a sore thumb to me. And even though I'll never take them out and repose them in a bending over type of fashion or something, I need to know it's there. So it's the thought that counts more than the actual posability, I guess.
Well, when we were in New York, I went to the Times Square Toys R Us, and they did have a huge Avengers display out, and I got to see a lot of these figures. It was a strange assortment of figures they had number-wise. There were only 4 different figures total and like 20 of each of them. But I couldn't justify the $11.50 they were charging for the figures at Times Square Toys R Us.
Ouch.
Yeah, the MSRP is $8, $9.99, and they wanted $11.50 for a 3¾-inch figure.
But you're paying for atmosphere. There's a Ferris wheel inside that store, and you can get your picture taken with Jeffrey the Giraffe when you walk in.
Do you get a free ride on the Ferris wheel with that purchase?
No, it's $5.
Jeez, like, oh my arm.
And then you can also have your picture taken with Spider-Man or Iron Man or Captain America, though, and then pay for that photo, too.
They actually got mad at me. I snapped an iPhone photo of Cap, and I shouldn't have.
Oh, jeez. Because it's pre-street date or what?
No, not the Cap figure. The guy dressed in the Cap outfit. I'm supposed to pay $25 for that picture.
Oh, God.
But with the Avengers figures, the official street date is March 1st for all the Avengers toys. And at my local Toys R Us, before we went to Toy Fair, they actually put out some toys, no action figures, but some mugs and some other things, and then yanked them back. They did a major toy reset, and now there's like a 8-foot section of blank shelves where I just know the Avengers figures are going to be going. And I think they're going to be waiting till closer to the 1st.
Now, is that like up in the sweet spot as you walk into the store? Is it back with the other, like, Thor and Iron Man type of action figures?
It's back in the Isle of Misfit Toys, as Marjorie has referred to it, but they've changed it because it used to be you'd walk past the video section next to the electronics and video game section, and there'd be like a row of musical instruments.
Yep.
And then the next row would be like a comic rack and then the Misfit Toys.
Mm-hmm.
Then the third row would, and I've been to so many Toys R Us's, I know this is a fairly standard configuration. The third row, I'd find Cap, Thor, Joe, Transformers, and Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
Then the fourth row had, like, army and wrestling figures. I never go down there. And then the fifth row had Spider-Man, Superhero Squad, and Squinkies. Well, they've changed it. They've gotten rid of the musical instrument aisle. The first aisle now is Star Wars, Joe, and Transformers. The second aisle is one side Misfit Toys. They move the comic rack to the far end. And the other side is all superheroes with some DC and like 3/4 of it Marvel. And they've put all their Thor, Cap stuff, Marvel Universe, Marvel Legends. They did get all those in. No variants yet. But all of the Marvel toys, with the exception of the dwindling Spider-Man line and Superhero Squad, are now in one spot. And there's like an 8-foot hole that I just know is going to be flooded with overpriced Avengers toys.
Interesting. Sounds like my Toys R Us trips are going to be one aisle shorter now.
That's the way I look at it, too. But with the Avengers line, they're going to be doing movie and comic versions of the figures, which I think is a good return to form. I wish they'd done more of the comic style figures with Thor and Cap last year. I loved it when they did that with Iron Man 2 and Wolverine.
I like it, too. I feel like there's, even if they don't do something in that line with the Marvel Universe, we always have the possibility of those comic characters happening at some point. So I'm not going to get too upset about what does and does not come out in the comic line of the Avengers lineup, but I'd be more interested in getting accurate movie versions.
I suppose I just prefer getting something like an Ultimate Comics Thor versus Thor with snowboard.
You know he's coming. He's coming eventually.
One thing that kind of caught me, though, is the stealth armor Iron Man. I'm pretty sure that was in the Hasbro slide that said movie line. And I don't know if that was they put the wrong graphic in the wrong place or if there might be a third set of Iron Man armor that we haven't seen yet in a trailer, kind of like the Mark V in Iron Man 2, if he dons some blue armor for this film, because I would be very excited for that.
We only know who one of the villains is, so there's still a lot more to come out.
Yeah. Hasbro was very teasing, and so was Diamond, there is a character that they are under lock and key. They cannot tell us is coming, but is coming in like wave 2 and 3 of Avengers figures.
And they alluded that it was in the trailer.
Well, they said one of them, if you freeze framed, you saw. And so I'm thinking that it's those frost giants we saw, but maybe they weren't frost giants.
I wouldn't call a frost giant a villain, though. They're more minions.
True. I'm still sticking with my original thought that I think Red Skull is going to be the main baddie in this movie, and that Loki is just kind of his minion and doing his bidding. But that's just me. I'm just guessing. But it would make sense to me from a movie standpoint.
I've not heard any reports of Hugo Weaving filming, but it could be. But this mysterious villain will be showing up in the deluxe mission packs because they're bringing back the deluxe figures. We get another parachuting Cap and a disc shooting Iron Man. I think he stole. Didn't Captain America have a backpack jet glider that shot discs?
Yeah, I think two of them, actually. They repainted that within the Captain America line.
Well, now Iron Man gets his own. But then in Wave 2, the unknown villain will be showing up.
Interesting.
I'm just sad that I have to wait till Wave 3 for that Hawkeye and Black Widow in the main line, though.
Exactly. I hope this isn't another Sif situation where the figures that we actually really want are hard to find, or we have to get cases online because they never make it out to retail, because we're going to be looking at the same 6 Hulks and 5 Iron Men and Caps and all that for the next 6 months.
But keep in mind, Captain America got 3 waves out in a month. So it could be Thor, it could be Cap.
I'm sorry, but Captain America is eminently more fun to play with than like Black Widow or Hawkeye. Hawkeye doesn't have any special powers, does he?
He has a bow.
Okay, and he's immortal.
But what I'm getting excited for, honestly, for the Avengers line, are some of the vehicles. Now, we are going to get some of the silly vehicles at the $20 price point like they did for Cap and Iron Man, where you get the attack jet, which is going to be a repaint of the same thing, or the ground assault vehicle, which is going to be a repaint of what they've already painted up twice. But if you're willing to spend a little more, you get something truly iconic, a Quinjet with Iron Man for $30.
See, that's awesome. That goes back to when we were talking about, you know, when they missed the boat by not putting, like, Red Skull's car out in the Captain America line. If it's in the movie and it's a vehicle and you can get it in there for under $30, we're going to buy it. So this is what they need to be doing. The Quinjet and the big Mamma Jamma coming out.
Yeah, the Helicarrier. They leaked a photo of this themselves intentionally before Toy Fair, and I just couldn't believe it. This thing, it is the biggest vehicle Hasbro has ever done for Marvel. It's over 3 feet long.
Excuse me. I've seen this thing in person. It's not 3 feet long, the base. You have to extend the crane out and then count the little things on the front. Then it's 3 feet long.
Yeah, I was a little embarrassed. I'm talking to David Vonner. And Marjorie comes up and goes, is that really 3 feet? And he's like, yes, it's over 3 feet. If you turn the crane this way and you point the gun that way. And she's like, you used man math.
We're still talking about the Helicarrier, right?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
I couldn't believe you accused David Vonner of man math.
It is man math.
It's marketing man math.
Yes, it is. Because you have to extend things out to make it over 3 feet long.
Hey, it sounds better than saying over 2 feet, 6 inches long.
Here's the thing. This thing, they say you can put over 30 figures on it. And I'm looking at it, they're not making 30 Avengers figures, but seeing this, it's non-specific enough. I'm looking at this as a great display for the Marvel Universe figures because I've been using Ultaramas and whatever I can find to display them, but really, this is like diorama in a box.
Oh, yeah. There's all kinds of levels and different places to pop them on there that make a great shelf piece.
You know what I wonder is if the G.I. Joe line is going to have a Helicarrier soon.
That's over 3 feet long?
Yes.
You laugh, but they did that. They made a Mustafar playset for Revenge of the Sith, and pretty soon Joe had a volcano.
No, that was Indiana Jones. Oh. Got the Mustafar playset.
That's right, Indiana Jones. But I was a little worried about the Quinjet price because, you know, once you hit the 3 figures mark, you're really encroaching on over 0.62 Hot Toys. And
that is, by the way, how we measure everything in our house as far as cost. I have to tell him how many Hot Toys it is.
And I really thought, collecting Star Wars a lot and seeing their quote-unquote big vehicle every year, I thought there was no way I was going to get out of this for under 100, and I was thinking maybe even for this size, $120.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. I was prepared for $100 or more.
I was easily ready for $100. So you can imagine my whoops of joy when they announced the price at $69.99.
That's pretty right on. I think they're going to move quite a few of them at that price.
That's an amazing price for such a toy. Really?
Well, and that's going to go on sale very easily for the $50 price point.
With Christmas and all the deals we've seen every year at Amazon with the Sentinel and with the Galactus, this is very likely something that I will get at least one of at full price as soon as it comes out, because I need one to put my figures on. But if this thing goes down to the $40 price, I could see getting two more, because, I mean, they've made a lot of Marvel Universe figures and I need a place to put them.
Helicarrier, yes. Like you said, like every year something gets surprisingly low on Amazon around Christmas. And if this is the thing that's going to be under $30, I might just have to find some places to clear off space to start putting helicarriers everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it almost forces you, though, to buy a couple Quinjets, because the Quinjets land perfectly on it. It's Insta-diorama. Just add figures.
And figures we got.
Now, they're, of course, doing what they've done with every movie toy line. We're getting the 6-inch Mighty Battler figures, where you squeeze their legs for a battle move.
Oh, kind of like those Spider-Man ones.
Yeah, like with the whipping web of Spooge.
If only this was a video podcast so people could see Arnie's arm motions as he's mimicking it. But it is very creepy to squeeze legs and have battling moves.
See, these are the things that I feel like they put out on the shelf just a few days before they start putting out the actual action figures to try to get some people who might be getting a little antsy for some new figures to buy things that they might not otherwise look at.
All right. Were you the devil on my shoulder when I was at Toys R Us the other day? Because they also are putting out these 10-inch Ultimate Heroes figures. And maybe I was a little antsy, but yeah, I did walk out with Thor, Cap, and Iron Man.
They saw you coming.
Now, these have the MSRP of $20. Toys R Us was charging me $25. I wish I'd known the MSRP was less. I might have been able to be a little bit more resistant. But I got to give these 10-inch figures this. They have really good sculpts. They have hidden their little talkie features so that you can't really see where they are. And I saw these 10-inch figures and I'm like, gosh darn it, I want the Avengers to assemble in my cart. And they didn't have the Hulk out, but they had the other three, and I'm like, I know just where I'm putting them on my shelf. And so, yeah, if they'd had the regular figures out, I might have been a little bit more resistant. But yes, you're right. They put out some of these things a little early, and they get me.
But you've already admitted that you're going to have an Avengers problem.
I am. I am. I really am.
In anticipation of this movie, last year, this is how hyped you are, you taught our dogs to come running when you shout, "Chihuahuas assemble."
And it works, too.
It does. All you have to do is say, "Chihuahuas assemble," and they all come running.
Then there's going to be doing the 8-inch figures, you know, which they've done for Thor and Cap. There's that ever-elusive Destroyer for the Thor line that they've put out while they're doing more of those. Again, it seems like Black Widow and Hawkeye are really getting the shaft, because all of these, you get Iron Man, Cap, Thor, and Hulk. Iron Man, Cap, Thor, and Hulk. Iron Man, Cap, Thor, and Hulk.
Because the other two aren't real superheroes.
What about Nick Fury?
He's just cool.
That's his superpower.
Yeah, I mean, obviously these are aimed at kids who might not buy action figures and might just happen to be at the store and be like, ooh, cool, and their mom will buy them one or two of those.
The only thing I can think of is I am so disappointed in the scale of that Hulk that the 6-inch leg squeeze Hulk or the 8-inch 5-point of articulation Hulk might actually be to scale with the rest of these.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but there's something else coming up on this list that I think might be an even better representation of the Hulk in that line. But yeah, that I kind of had the same thought. Like that 8-inch Hulk, after I see the movie, I'll have a better idea. But I think that might be a good contender for popping on a shelf behind the rest of the Avengers.
Yeah, I mean, in the first Ang Lee Hulk movie, the Hulk was 8, 10, and 15 feet tall, depending on the scene.
And that hopping through the desert scene, he looked like he was 30 feet tall. He kept changing size.
Yeah, and so I think that you could actually pick all of these Hulks, maybe even the 10-inch Hulk, throw it down there. That's the one figure that disappoints me most, because I would have walked out of that Times Square Toys R Us with a Hulk, my favorite Avenger, and the one that I have least figures of, if it hadn't just sucked so hard. But that figure really is bad. Everything everyone has ever said about that figure being bad is dead on. That one's miserable.
But there were some better Hulks there, weren't there? Or did you find those at your regular store, the mini Mighty Mugs?
I found those at my regular store. I did not find any Avengers ones, though. They're coming out with non-movie-based, but still Avenger-based two-packs, and I got all of those. Again, overpriced at Toys R Us. The MSRP is $12. I got Hulk and Abomination, Cap Red Skull, Iron Man Iron Monger, and Thor and Loki, and I'll do a detailed review of those on the next show. What I didn't find, but I saw a couple of at the Times Square Toys R Us, were the Mighty Mug singles. Now, we were speculating about the price for a single mini mug. It turns out that price is $6, and that's a price I can live with.
Yeah, me too. I was hoping for $5, but $6 doesn't seem all that out of whack, I guess.
But really weird, the only mini mugs they had at the Toys R Us in Times Square were Hawkeye and Nick Fury.
Kind of goes to show why maybe they didn't do Hawkeye and Nick Fury in those 8-inch figures.
I don't know what the case assortment is. They had like 10 of each of them, but no other mini mugs in sight.
What is a little kid going to want to play with Nick Fury?
Because he's a bad mamma jamma.
See, you've been kind of lucky. I have yet to see any of this stuff at any of my local stores. They've been pretty tight with the street date around here, and my interest isn't high enough to start asking for people to pull them out of the back. So, yeah. The only thing I've seen so far was I saw the Hulk and Abomination 2-pack. No sight of any other of the other packs or anything else. That's the only thing I've seen with the Avengers logo on it so far.
I was a little disappointed. The Mini Mug 2-packs have an MSRP of $11.99. They were $18 at my Toys R Us. $18.
No thank you. That just doesn't even make sense.
I bought all four of them, and I almost bought spares of the two they had duplicates of, which was Hulk Abomination and Cap Red Skull.
And I said no.
Yeah, well, the spares would have been for you, for your office.
Yeah, but see the price.
Yeah, the price. But when I see them at Target or Walmart for this price, and probably, realistically, it seems Kmart has the sales around movie time weekend, I could see myself picking up some extras of these to put on my desk at work. They are that cute.
Yeah, they are. I'm digging them. I can't wait to find them. But like I said, and like you said, I'm not gonna give them $18-19 for a 2-pack. I'll wait till I find them somewhere else.
And speaking of cute, Superhero Squad returns.
Yay!
We talked about that a little bit with Spider-Man last time. I'm excited to see the Avengers movie getting, it looks like, 3 3-packs. There's Hulk, Loki, and Hawkeye. Cap, Thor, and Black Widow. I'm glad to see Black Widow getting some love. And then there's Iron Man, Captain America, and they didn't have a third one out there. It's probably Thor.
Or it could be the secret villain that we don't know about yet.
It could be the secret villain. You are...
I thought that was implied.
I just thought, hey, what did I say they have everything in? Thor, Cap, Hulk, Iron Man. there was a Cap with Thor and Widow. You're right. It is the mysterious villain. And coming with Iron Man and Cap, it could be Red Skull. You are
right. Red Skull. All signs point to Red Skull being the baddie.
And then there's just a ton of other toys coming out. Just a ton. You're going to have your aisles filled. They're doing a lot of repacks and repaints. They're repainting the Captain America shield.
In the role-playing toys. Yeah.
When my Toys R Us had the toys out, it was funny because they had, like, the Cap Frisbee from Captain America the First Avenger and the Cap Frisbee from the Avengers, one on top of the other. And it's like, you look real close, there's a slight difference in the paint job. One's a little more metallic.
Yeah, a lot of these things are carry forwards that you just kind of have to look at, kind of like with the original vintage Star Wars line. You know, you got C-3PO on the 12-back card, and then the same C-3PO with an Empire Strikes Back card. Same figure, different card, different movie. So you're going to have a lot of that type of stuff going on.
There is, but actually, with the exception of Thor's hammer, because Mjolnir is Mjolnir, right?
Yeah.
Cap's shield did get a repaint. Iron Man is getting a new arc reactor that will attach to your chest and look a lot like that one I freeze-framed from the Avengers trailer. It's a lot less defined as a triangle and more just this weird glossy circle. And I guess that Iron Man reactor sold well because now they're coming out with like a Cap star and for Amazing Spider-Man, a Spider-Man light-up chest thing. That makes no sense for anyone but Iron Man.
I don't get this. Why would they do that? And I beg to differ that the Iron Man arc reactor was popular as we found them for $2.
Yeah, I don't know. But if it wasn't popular, they wouldn't keep making them.
Or else they just already have it and it's easy to whip out and it's costing them like a penny.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, they could have moved, though. Like, I mean, I remember seeing boxes of those on the pallets when I was making late night toy runs. So might not look like they were moving, but maybe they were selling through quite often and just replenishing them.
I feel the same way about those, like, pull back little dune buggy figures. They had those for Iron Man and they had them for Cap. Thank God they never put Thor on a dune buggy. But they're going to be doing...
You know what the W stands for.
Yet.
They're doing them for the Avengers, these little pull back vehicles.
Thor's going to get a buggy. He's a Jeep guy.
And they're even doing Transformers in addition to a couple of like regular Transformers, but they're not calling them Transformers anymore for whatever reason. Now they're called Mech Machines, but Iron Man turns into a sports car and Hulk turns into a tank.
Of course.
But they also even... Justin, did you play with Transformers as a kid?
I did.
Do you happen to remember the quick change Autobots that you'd like roll back and they'd roll forward and then flip and transform into robot mode?
Yeah, well, they didn't really transform. They unfolded and landed on their overly big feet.
But it was called a transformer. Yeah.
I know. Transforming is kind of loosely used there, though. But yeah, I remember being
into
those.
Was it more than meets the eye?
Well, they're doing that now for the Avengers. They call them Flip and Attack Transformer Avengers.
I don't get it.
They're the exact 1986 technology I played with.
Nice.
I'd like to point out that the guy who was doing the demo had to do it like 4 times to get it to work because it would just kind of like peter out.
Yep, that's kind of how it was in 1986.
Oh, okay. So they've not really improved that technology and the rollback cars is what you're saying.
They've taken that as far as they can take it. Yeah, a lot of this stuff is going to be obviously aimed at the kids. And if I was into something like that when I was a kid, I can't imagine today's kids wouldn't be uninterested in that. I mean, it might be fun for a little bit here and there.
Yeah, Avengers are going to hit hard and just a few days away from when we release this show. So I'm sure that our first show in March, we're going to have a lot to talk about. But in addition to Avengers, the Marvel Universe continues. Now, if you listened to David Vonner's presentation, maybe you noticed something that had a lot of us in the audience scratching our heads. Because he talks about the new 2012 line and goes, Wave 1 has Beta Ray Bill and Ultimate Spider-Man and Astonishing Beast. I'm like, wait, what? Didn't Wave 1 have Iron Fist and Psylocke and Storm?
The numbering would have me believe that.
So I think the wave numbers were just off by one.
That would seem to be the situation. Unless we got one weird wave that doesn't go with anything else. It wasn't the end of 2011 and it wasn't the beginning of 2012.
And that may be the case. But when I was talking to David Vonner before Marjorie's man math interruption...
Hey, I think I had to inform him of that because it's misleading.
But David said that there are only going to be 4 waves of Marvel Universe figures this year.
Aye, aye, aye.
Now, given that he talked about 4 in the presentation, I think that's 4 we haven't seen yet, but still just 4 more this year. That's only 1 wave every 2 months.
Yeah, I kind of look at it as a mixed blessing. You know, since it is a big movie event year, there's going to be plenty of Avengers stuff to be looking for and tracking down. And with Marvel Legends now being out in full force, that's even more stuff to look for. So
yeah,
am I going to miss an extra wave or two of Marvel Universe? Maybe.
Your wallet won't.
Exactly. But as long as I'm looking at this list of figures they got coming out, these are some pretty great figures. It's not another list of like, oh, look, another Daredevil, another Iron Man, another Thor. We're getting some good new figures that have never been done here.
I have to completely agree with you, because I did see a lot of people say that same thing on the webpage. Is like, well, it's bad they're not making any, but my wallet's going to take a break. And I keep thinking, yeah, but you know what else would give your wallet a break? If they canceled the line. I mean, there's there's a reason we collect. It's because we want it. And then I got thinking and said, but you know what? I would prefer to give my wallet a break from all those repacks, from not getting another Iron Man in the line, and maybe not getting a, oh, it's a slightly glossier Spider-Man in the line. And when I look at the list of figures that are coming out, it hits me that every figure isn't just one I want, but one I'm actually excited about. Even the new Spider-Man coming out that we're getting, and there is two more Spider-Mans coming this year, they are so far different from the other Spider-Man we've had that to get an Ultimate Spider-Man, and I've been wanting this, and I didn't even dare to hope for it, but the Miles Morales variant of the Ultimate Spider-Man.
Is that the latest costume that we just saw last year?
It's the current costume in the Ultimate line with the new Miles Morales, because they killed Peter Parker. Spoiler alert if you haven't read any newspaper. But to be getting both of those plus Beta Ray Bill, and Justin, you and I have talked about wanting this for so long, a new Hulk with the new articulation like we saw in World War Hulk.
Oh yeah, he's finally coming. And they can feel free to repaint him all day long. Give me a Hulk with bright purple pants, light purple pants, gray pants. Give me a gray Hulk. Give me a red Hulk. As long as you get the articulation right on this one, feel free to release every Hulk you've already done, and I won't hold it against you.
Give me another half red, half green Hulk.
Exactly. Now, hopefully he's tall enough, or at least taller than our current Hulks.
You know, I saw him, and I gotta say he's around the same height.
Well, I might be able to look the other way with the extra articulation.
He's around World War Hulk size, so it's slightly small, but again, we always say it depends on the artist. It, you know, if you go back to Secret Wars, Hulk didn't stand twice as tall.
Very true. He also looks extra detailed, too. You know, it looks like there's not only extra articulation, but there's more attention to detail in the sculpt, too, which is going to, I think, makes it look some of these other Hulks look a little old and wonky.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this figure. I'm a Hulk fan, and this looks to be doing him justice. And in Wave 2, we get his cousin She-Hulk.
In her workout outfit, right?
Yes.
80s workout outfit?
Well, in the 80s, she was like a Cindy Crawford-looking lawyer, so that was a weird comic.
It looks like we get some other cool figures in that Wave 2. We're getting a Scarlet Witch, and we're getting Kang.
Kang, I've been waiting for. He's a major villain in Earth's Mightiest Heroes, the cartoon. I'm like, they gotta be making this guy, and a MODOK for that matter.
Yay.
But
no.
I've been waiting for him. Two more Spider-Men.
We'll finally be able to finish the Future Foundation team.
Yes, indeed. And they're going to be doing a Bagman variant, which David Vonner apparently personally championed. It was his own Waterloo, and he finally got it.
That's pretty cool, but that's more than just a variant. I mean, it's going to be using a different body, I think, and have a bare foot on there, and obviously the bag head. So that's not just a repaint. That's a straight-up different figure.
And we're getting another Punisher, and even though this is our third go-around with Punisher, it looks like they finally got it really right.
Yeah, she definitely looks better. The first Punisher was horrible. The hands were horrible. The second one was better.
The first Punisher is the whole reason we didn't have Marvelicious Toys starting in 2010. Because I like had those figures in my hand and I'm like, that Punisher looks crappy. I'm not buying these.
Yes, he was a dark spot on the beginning of the line. And this new Punisher looks like to be the apology for that figure.
But I think Wave 3, out of all of them, Wave 3 may be the one that I'm really looking forward to. They've been teasing us with Puck since San Diego Comic-Con.
And we finally got to see him painted and in actual physical form now.
And he comes with Snowbird, too. So we were wondering what he might come with being a smaller figure. He gets to come with Snowbird in bird form. And speaking of birds, after I went through this massive hunt for a Hawkman figure for some wings, because Justin, your custom was just that damn cool.
It's not this damn cool, though.
David Vonner had to show you up.
Yeah. Those wings are incredible.
We know he listens. Maybe he listened to that and he's like, you want to see wings? I'll give you wings.
Well, thank you, David. You've made me feel like less of a man because you've outdone my wings.
This angel is astounding. It's in that blue outfit, like Justin's custom that we talked about on the show. But the wings on this thing are massive, and they're like double jointed. They fold back behind him, then they fold out and fold out again, and they can move forward and back to encompass him a little bit.
That's awesome. I mean, that sounds like there's more articulation and more detail than the Marvel Legends figure of that same character that came out years ago. I mean, those are some pretty decent wings, but they couldn't, you know, wrap around him at all, and they didn't fold up and down. I think they basically just kind of stuck on his back, and maybe you could raise him or lower him. They really nailed this figure. They hit it out of the park with this one.
Yeah, unfortunately, they don't let me play with the toys there, so I'm not positive how far the articulation moves. But
no, they get very angry if you touch the toys there.
They got mad at me because I got close for a shot, and they're like, sir, you must stay off the carpet. I've never even heard that one before, and this was my sixth year, but
yeah.
I stayed off the carpet. But no, that from what they're telling us, that's going to have some amazing articulation on those wings. And you can hear the whole list on last week's show, and, you know, but there's just a lot of good figures there. I mean, Professor X in the chair, we saw him at New York Comic Con. Jubilee, I didn't realize they were doing full-on vampire Jubilee.
Yeah, that's pretty sweet. And I think that's the first we've heard of that, because before all we saw was, you know, the pre-production shot at Comic-Con last year.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not really sure. I mean, it's going to be a subtle difference between classic, you know, 90s Jubilee and vampire Jubilee, but have to see the figure in hand to see what the differences are there. And then Blastar coming with a variant up your alley, Justin, with translucent hands.
Very cool. Very cool. They can do that very easily on every figure that goes invisible or has some sort of power like that, and I will happily buy them all day long.
Well, Blastar is going to be coming next year, sometime in 2013. So there are other figures they didn't announce, maybe a Thor or a Cap or an Iron Man.
No Hawkeye or Black Widow, though.
You can only find them at Family Dollar stores. No, not even Family Dollar stores. Something even less.
What's less than a Family Dollar?
I don't know. It sounds like
Dollar Tree.
Dollar Tree. Everything's a buck.
But then I'm sure we're going to be getting a lot of our figures. There's the team packs coming out. There's the Heroic Age Heroes, which looks like, I can't tell if it's the new sculpt or the old sculpt on the Red Hulk, but a Red Hulk coming along with another modern Thor and another Bleeding Edge Iron Man. And there's that Bugle.
And Bleeding Edge Iron Man again.
After the Toys R Us and...
Yeah, it's a cool sculpt, but man, they just really overdid that figure.
But then an all-new three-pack, Inhumans, with Black Bolt, Medusa, and Karnak, and X-Men, and that baby Cyclops. Hasbro won't release an official photo, but we saw him on the slide. He is freaking cute. He's like a mini mug in the Marvel Universe line.
Is he wearing his little visor?
He's in full blue outfit with the visor and everything. I don't know what the story is on that, but it is funny.
Awesome.
It's like X-Men babies.
He's the new Groot.
And the comic two packs, some more repacks. It looks like we're getting an old sculpt Hulk and a repack of the first appearance Wolverine, packed with Hulk 181, which was his first appearance. A Silver Centurion Iron Man. Now, we have a Silver Centurion. Didn't he come in the Iron Man 2 line?
I believe so. There was a point there in the Iron Man line where there were some funky ones coming out. But Silver Centurion seems like one we got.
And he comes with Mandarin, because David Vonner said, we know people have had trouble finding Mandarin. Well, we're going to put him out. But David, it's not like you're just giving us a chance at the same figure. Now you've made him red, so we still have to go back and get that Iron Man 2 figure.
Yeah, I still have yet to find a green Mandarin. So I will get this when it comes out, and maybe I'll get it twice and just give up the ghost and paint him green myself.
And then it looks like another repack pack because they said Defenders Norrin Rad. Well, that's just the Silver Surfer, unless they're making a non-Silver Surfer Norrin Rad figure. And then Doctor Strange, probably a minor repaint, if that. I mean, that's they kind of gave us the definitive Strange, I think, last year.
Yeah, I don't know how much more they could do there, unless they're getting the phasing version out again.
True.
That variant was hard to find.
And then they're doing a comic pack with Cap and Falcon, both of whom we had in the regular line last year. So it looks like the comic pack's going to be possibly an easy pass for a lot of collectors who have the basic figures.
Very true. But hard to say until we see what they are. But a lot of times they are exactly what we were thinking they were going to be. So what about Fin Fang Foom? We heard about him at San Diego Comic-Con. What did they tell us about him this time?
You know, they said nothing about him. They didn't say anything about San Diego Comic-Con exclusives. In the showroom, they had the Sentinels out. I mean, sure, they're still sitting at my Toys R Us, too, but did they have to go to Times Square to buy a couple Sentinels just to move their own stock?
Possibly.
I don't know why they didn't show off Fing Fang Foom, because this would have been the perfect Fing Fang time to do it.
Fing Fang time.
Well, I guess that gives us something to look forward to this summer.
Yeah. But
that means that we won't be getting him right away, unless he's a surprise appearance at San Diego Comic Con.
And he may be. I mean, they've announced him. We know he's coming. The thing is, there's just no real good place for them to announce things other than online until Comic-Con. That's their next real opportunity to give news.
True. Yeah, it might be the type of thing where we just hear about it and we know that it's going to happen. Kind of like with the Compound Hulk. Mm-hmm. Like, that wasn't announced months in advance. It just kind of happened the week beforehand, and it happened, so.
Or the Marvel Legends Thor at Comic-Con, where we're going to Comic-Con, and like, is there a Thor? We don't know. And speaking of Marvel Legends, at Comic-Con last year, they're like, well, we'll promise one wave in 2012. We'll see how it does. Maybe wave two will be 2012, maybe 2013. Well, they said that we were the number three toy in all of Hasbro with the Marvel Legends re-release. And so now three waves this year.
That's pretty awesome. That is pretty awesome, especially for how fresh the line is. I mean, we just started finding those at Toys R Us a couple weeks ago. And for them to sell that quickly and that well, that just shows that there's still a very big market for the 6-inch line.
I just hope that means we're not going to have problems finding the variants.
Yeah, I already found the Stealth Iron Man variant and passed on him. And then I thought better of it, and I went back later that same day, and he was gone. So, yeah, pretty popular. I was more concerned about finding the orange version of Ghost Rider. Do we know if he's shipping yet? Does he ship with the variant Iron Man?
We don't know. I don't think he is, because when I was at the Times Square Toys R Us, I found all of the new Legends figures, including both colors of Iron Man, and I did pick up the Stealth Armor Iron Man, because that's how I roll. I carried it back from New York because I didn't know if I'd see it again. But there were no Ghost Rider, and they announced at the panel that there's going to be a third variant in the wave, which was previously unannounced. They're doing the Steve Rogers with these clear photon shield and a slight new deco on the body.
Yeah, I don't know about that one, because I would much rather prefer the photon shield, but if he doesn't look any different, I just don't need half of another Build-A-Figure lying around, you know?
Well, I think that it's probably going to be like what they did with Winter Soldier, where he had the different stars on his shoulders. That's the kind of redeco I think they may be doing.
Yeah, maybe he'll have a red suit on. That'd be kind of cool.
That's true.
They just didn't, for no reason.
They didn't say how it would be redecoed, but given that this is now a line that's counting on variants for you to get new figures, like Big Time Spidey versus Future Foundation Spidey, or Thunderball, or Pile Driver, or Madam Mask and Madam Hydra in Wave 2, you gotta hope that these revision cases ship pretty well.
Yeah, and it's too early to say how hard these are going to be to come by, because they have yet to hit Target and Walmart yet. You know, it's only been Toys R Us so far. So hopefully there'll be a lot more opportunities to get them once they hit the bigger stores. Otherwise, we might just be ordering cases.
And then in Wave 3, I got to see Blade. and he's fantastic.
He does look pretty sweet. The customizer in me, though, automatically tore him down to his original pieces. You know, all I could see was the Winter Soldier torso and the Nick Fury trench coat. But even with that, very good choices of parts because it works very well with that blade.
Nick Fury's trench coat was never cool because it didn't have the red silk liner.
Very true.
And they had U.S. Agent out. He's looking good. They showed us just a picture of the Mystique unpainted sculpt. And she's in, like, the tank top and just has a whole bunch of weapons with her. And there's going to be 5 more figures in Wave 3. And again, all in 2012. So this year, I think when you said that you're kind of happy that they're slowing down on Marvel Universe because Marvel Legends is hitting so hard, I wonder if it might not be Marvel Universe there's less of because there are more Marvel Legends, because in talking to Mr. Vonner, he is now helping out on the Legends line.
Awesome. That's very cool.
It seems like it may be a temporary thing. The way he described it to me was he was trying to help steer a really big boat and get it on track.
Well, if a lot of these figures are under his direction, then I'd say he's got it going in the right waterways.
Absolutely. I mean, this guy's a huge fan. He knows his stuff. He knows what the fans want to see. Plus, he did a good job of teasing the Marvel Legends guys at both New York and San Diego Comic-Con. So,
in very able hands, the line is. I don't know why I turned into Yoda there.
And then in 2013, this got a lot of people excited. It got the Transformers people excited. It got the Marvel people excited. In the Legends line, the classic Hyperion.
Very cool. Now, of course, no idea what that's going to be. We don't know if that's going to be an exclusive at a con or a Build-A-Figure or what, do we?
Well, they said they would reveal later where this figure will be available. Well, unless they're going to really screw us all and go to BotCon with it. I think it's pretty close to, say, San Diego Comic-Con. Or, God help us, there's a D23 Expo next year. And Marvel had a pretty big presence at that last year.
Well, yeah, it was their new property.
Stop giving them ideas. I think all of a sudden there's going to be a repaint version exclusive to BotCon.
But that was the Hasbro stuff, and that's where a lot of my money is going to be focused this year. But a lot of other companies were at Toy Fair at the Javits Center. The next day, Marjorie and I had to book our way through this huge convention center and see a lot of people about a lot of toys. Diamond is perhaps the most movie-based of all the companies. They've got 4 different Marvel Selects coming out for Avengers. They've already announced the Iron Man reissue, the Mark VI, and the Hulk and Hawkeye they showed. Well, they're doing that mysterious mystery foe also, and it'll be out in May.
I'm sensing a pattern here. The Hulk will be new, Iron Man is a reissue, Hawkeye is new, and Mystery Foe may be a reissue.
Ooh.
Of Red Skull.
You're making some solid points, and you're really sure of that yourself. I'm not confident enough to say one way or another. I think that in this day and age of the internet, they'd have a hard time keeping Hugo Weaving on set a secret.
Maybe, but if that was their main priority.
Well, they'd also have to shut down, like, IMDb and everything.
Yeah, I mean, it'd all be stupid.
I mean, everybody knew when Liam Neeson showed up on the Dark Knight Rises set, is all I'm saying.
How do we know that they didn't shoot some of the parts beforehand?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. But at any rate, this is the Hulk that I'm talking about that I think would go well with the 3 3/4 inch line, depending on scale. This Hulk looks good.
Yeah, I really like this Hulk quite a bit. And, you know, the Hawkeye looks really nice, too. It's nicer than I thought when I saw it in person, but the Hulk is astounding. The Iron Man Mark VI, I've never been a fan of their select Iron Man Mark VI, honestly, but...
Mm-mm, nor I. But this Hulk, they've muted him down. You know, he's not wearing the bright khaki pants, and he looks like a little bit of a darker green, and more articulated than any other of the versions of the Hulks that are coming out, so... That's where I think I'm just put my $20.
Yeah, I pre-ordered that Anti-Venom at my comic store, and I may pre-order this one too. You know, don't have to pay any shipping, anything like that. I go to the comic store anyway, and they're real good. It's from Diamond, so they're able to get it just with their comics.
Not a bad idea.
They're also getting Amazing Spider-Man movie Spider-Man and Lizard.
That's Spider-Man. I think the sculpt looks better than the painted version.
The painted version, you know, this whole Spider-Man thing, you'll notice a pattern of the, like, Oakley glasses eyes, you know, and the different types of paint they use. And then in their comic baseline, they've got the Green Goblin, which is already out in some places. It was delayed a week in others. They're doing Ultron, Storm, who looks phenomenal, and I haven't seen any pictures of this yet, but Nightcrawler's coming this winter. So I like Marvel Selects in that they keep them kind of spaced. They're reissues with the new figures. You don't have to feel quite so pressured.
Very true. Very true. And you can always be selective like I am with them too, you know?
Marvel Selective.
Marvel Selective by Diamond.
Their other line, which is not quite so relaxing, Marvel Minimates. And it occurred to me just the other day as I was picking up some Minimates, how crazy I would have to be a completist on Minimates.
Oh, yeah.
Between the short-packed variants and everything else, and the fact that in every wave, there's 8 to 10 figures, and they're on wave 46 of the regular size, plus the Toys R Us exclusives, which are counted separately.
Yeah, it seems like they're constantly coming out with new ones. That would be a hard line to be completionist on. And if you were into any other collecting, it would be hard to do that. If that's the only thing you collect, it's still going to keep you very busy.
I agree. And I am fortunate enough to be selective on them. It was pretty easy for me to pass the X-Men First Class ones, which I really wanted to want as the only X-Men First Class toys. And so I think I can probably pass on most of their Avengers stuff, too.
They're just not as cute as Kubrick's or Lego people, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, that's kind of where I am with them, too, is that, you know, with Lego coming out, that's going to be a little bit harder for me to say no to. But if Kubrick decided to get in and get the Marvel license...
Justin, I have a Wolverine Kubrick.
They had it. They lost it, I think.
Yeah, if they were full bore into it, that could get very expensive very quickly. But yeah, this is a line that I've kind of personally left in the past, especially now with Marvel Legends being back. I keep looking at them, and I just taking all the ones that I do have, and they're sitting in a box somewhere. They don't bring me any joy.
When I get all my stuff out, I'm really going to have to evaluate mine, because I've been picking up some of their box sets. They've got a lot more box sets coming out this year, too, like The Fear Itself, The Worthy set, and Venom Through the Ages box set, which might be really cool to get the Flash Thompson Venom and She-Venom and all of that. And, of course, we already know we have to get the Marvel vs. Capcom MODOK Akuma pack.
Oh, yeah. That one is a must. And that's more of a MODOK thing than a Minimates thing.
But I think that there's a lot of them coming out, and it's very easy, again, to pick and choose on that. And then with some of these movies, they're also getting into other kinds of things. They're doing statues and busts, which we really don't associate them with so much. They're doing a Amazing Spider-Man statue, Amazing Spider-Man bust, an Amazing Spider-Man unmasked bust, Vigilante Spider-Man, and Lizard bust. So another company in the bust line, but not doing the comic-based stuff, specifically Amazing Spider-Man.
Apparently there's some sort of loophole in the licensing for busts. I think I might just start making my own bust and see if I get a cease and desist letter.
I'm telling you, it's about the size of it.
Well, in addition, I'm sure Sony has some licensing rights of their own with this, and that's why we're not seeing Avengers busts from Diamond Select.
Very true. It's all Spider-Man based.
But our first stop at Javits that morning was Lego, and they kind of teased us a bit with their Marvel license last year at Comic-Con, hadn't heard much about it, but we got to finally see the buildable sets and their figures. They have these Lego figure people that you can build, and you're going to be able to build, guess which three?
Well, I'm gonna throw out a guess and say Iron Man?
Yes.
Okay. Captain America?
Yes.
Hulk?
You got it. Three Bing! For three.
Hey. Why does Thor get the short stick?
It goes back to what I said, was it last year, that kids don't like Thor. I'm telling you, Thor's only child fan is the little girl from Adventures in Babysitting.
Now, you know, I've seen these already in the DC line. There's a Batman that's on the shelf now in that same line where it's kind of like the, was it robotics or whatever that Lego's used to do? where you could buy the set and build a robot, and it wasn't very Lego-y looking. It was more fully articulated. Bionicles!
I do know what you're talking about. This is actually slightly different. They started, after that, their own line of Lego action figures, and then have taken that style and that scale and applied it to DC and Marvel.
Right.
What these are modeled after is their Hero Factory figures, which they've done on their own, and the Hero Recon team and things like that.
Yeah. Well, I do know that I saw the Batman one already on shelves, and they kind of reminded me of the Mega Bloks things that ended up at TJ Maxx with the Iron Man.
I saw a Wolverine one of those at TJ Maxx. I never saw it in a regular store.
Yeah.
But then we get the actual, you know, more classical Lego sets. And I've often wondered what kind of vehicles Lego can do because, you know, while Ghost Rider has his bike and things, there's not just a ton of iconic vehicles, but they're doing four sets from the Avengers movie. And I think there's some spoilers in some of these titles. So be warned, the next 5 minutes, I'm probably going to spoil Avengers for you a little.
So stick your fingers in your ears if you don't want to hear it.
So with the Avengers sets, there's Hulk Helicarrier Breakout.
So we can deduce from that that Hulk is going to have a rage issue on the Helicarrier.
And you know there's always that moment. The heroes have to battle each other, right? Otherwise, where's the fun?
But it comes with Loki.
Mm-hmm. So maybe Loki's instigating? We saw some weird stuff going on with Stellan Skarsgård at the end of Thor and Loki in the reflection. So maybe there's some manipulation occurring.
It also means we can probably deduce that at some point over the course of this year, we might see a huge Lego set, which is the Helicarrier.
These are all the sets this year. Maybe next, but this year, this is it. Then there's Loki's Cosmic Cube Escape.
In a Jeep.
Then Captain America's Avenging Cycle. I told you guys, Cap has to have a motorcycle. And we may not be getting a Helicarrier, but we are getting a Quinjet with Black Widow, Thor, and Iron Man.
Yeah, that looks like the big set. That looks pretty cool.
I was all worried because I wanted to love these Lego figures, and I was, but then I looked at Hulk, and Hulk had no face.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy and weird, but Hulk is going to get a face. Don't freak out.
So if you've seen the pictures online, Hulk will get face.
I'm more concerned about the Iron Man. Is that Iron Man a final version? Because I don't know if I dig that helmet.
It looks a little big, doesn't it? It reminds me of the little kid in Iron Man 2 wearing the toy Iron Man helmet.
Exactly. And this is what my problem is that I've said it before, that Legos have rules. And they're not following their own rules. Because either his head piece should be painted like an Iron Man helmet, or it should fit snugly over that headpiece. And that just looks way too big, and it doesn't look Lego-y. I'm hoping that's a prototype.
I'm thinking that's the final version because we were given one.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. In the minifigures they gave us, the Iron Man has a regular painted head. It makes me wonder if this might be a removable mask Tony Stark we're looking at. In which case, I could allow them to break the rule for that when you have your choices.
I kind of assume that's what they were doing, is that you lift that off and there's a Tony Stark under there. But personally, I would rather have two different heads if that's going to be the case. Because even if you look at the Magneto, looks like he has a removable helmet that doesn't look way too big and non-Lego-y.
True. The one they gave us was very nice looking. So I have to say in Lego we trust because it looks good. And everything they do there. Here's the thing is I think this is the bane of many Lego collectors, and now it's mine. I don't really want the play sets. I don't really want the vehicles, but I want the minifigures, and I may have to buy the vehicles to get them.
Or slightly different versions later on in some sort of, you know, little figure pack like they've done in the Star Wars line.
Very true. You can tell they're already going that way because the Cap and his cycle is only going to be about $15 or less. So they're getting them down to that, you know, $10 to $15 price point.
Enough of an impulse buy for a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy to see Deadpool make his way into the line so early.
Yeah, this is the one pack that's not Avengers-based, and it's Wolverine's Chopper Showdown with comic Wolverine, Magneto, and Deadpool. So a great way to test the waters there.
Yeah, just take it Marvel-wide and see what happens.
But we had a chance to talk to a representative from Lego, Amanda, that morning at the Lego booth about all of their Marvel offerings. And here's that interview.
And we are here at the Lego booth with Amanda, taking a look at their new Marvel Legos that were premiered at San Diego Comic-Con initially, a few minifigures.
Exactly, yeah. We did some exclusive giveaways there to announce the license, and we're excited to finally show the sets for the first time. So you guys are the first ones in the booth. No media has seen these sets yet, so we're very excited to share this. And the studio has given us free rein on photography, so we're very lucky because usually we're restricted in what we can show off. But we're free to show whatever you'd like to take pictures of.
And we'll start off taking a look at some of your Avengers stuff here for the movie coming out this May. You've got Hulk's Helicarrier Breakout.
Yes, and we love it because it's not a traditional minifigure as you would picture this. It's still a prototype, so Hulk is missing his face, but obviously he will have a face when it comes out in May. And it's great. There's a lot of great details and moving parts, which we know kids and adult collectors are going to love. And as you know, with Lego, everything is in the details. So there's little compartments, landing gear, moving parts, and this one comes with four minifigures, so it's great for those that are looking to collect different ones. We have Thor, Loki, Hawkeye, and Hulk in this set.
And then we see the Cosmic Cube Escape and the Avenging Cycle at a couple different price points there for Avengers.
Exactly. We're trying to give you know, our collectors and children an array of different choices. And as you see, it starts as low as $12.99 and goes up to $69.99. So there really is something for everyone for different gift-giving occasions. We know these are probably going to be very popular into the holidays later in the year.
And yeah, we see the Quinjet is the $69.99.
Yes, and as you see here, we have several minifigures here. My favorite is Iron Man. I love his mask. I think it's really detailed. And this is great, too, because as with many of our sets, the wings move and kids can play and open the compartment. So this is a really great set. It's one of my favorites from this collection.
Now, are any of these going to be exclusives to any store, or are these all general retail?
These are all general retail, the Marvel sets. There is one Lego Superheroes DC Universe that's exclusive to Toys R Us, but these are all available nationwide.
And in addition to the Avengers, you've also got some basic comic figures. There's Wolverine's Chopper Showdown with Deadpool, Magneto, and Wolverine.
Exactly. So that is not an Avenger. He's obviously an X-Men. But it's great because we're giving a variety of choices to everyone. And while most of them do focus on the new Avengers movie, this is something that maybe if someone's into X-Men and looking for this really cool Wolverine minifigure with his claws, I think that's great. And he very much looks like Hugh Jackman to me in that minifigure. So I think that's a great one.
Now, as far as the initial offerings, is this your full 2012 lineup?
It is. It is. These are all our sets for the year, so these all come out in May, tied to the new Avengers movie, and this these will be on shelves through the year, and as of now, this is all that's planned for this year, but hopefully more to come in 2013.
Now, with LEGO having just acquired the Marvel license, we know Mega Bloks had it before, and they're doing some amazing Spider-Man sets. Is your Marvel license all-inclusive or property by property?
I believe right now it's property by property, so they're trying to work out to see when different licenses expires and what we might pick up in the future, but for now this is the only license we have.
And you've also got some bigger Ultra Build figures over here.
Yeah, so these are what we call constructible action figures that go along similarly with our Hero Factory, which is our own IP. And these are great because they're very classic. Some of them are tied to the Avengers and some are just on their own, and they're great. They have a lot of details. I love the shield on Captain America, and they're interchangeable, so if a kid has a Hero Factory, he can swap out an arm or a weapon and play a long and role play with all the figures.
And I see Iron Man standing on one leg. Is he glued down, or is he actually that balanced?
We were having some fun yesterday setting up the booth and posing all of them to be looking kind of fighting each other. So they're all movable and posable, and just like the Hero Factory, they're all on ball bearings, so he can move and set just like that. So he can go. Now he's probably off balance, but just like Hero Factory, they're very posable and there we go. So kids will have a lot of fun with those, and they're neat because you can collect the minifigures, but then if you just want a standard action figure, we have those too.
They're also in line with your DC Universe, which is great because I know a lot of people like to mix and match their superheroes, Hulk versus Superman and all that.
Anyone can do whatever their imagination desires, so it's great. We're excited to have both lines, and these come out in May as well, tied to the Avengers movie, and all the DC superheroes are currently on shelves.
Now, on the sticker there, it says TV Mar. What does that mean?
That is for marketing and retail purposes, so that means in March it will be advertised TV commercials.
Thanks to Amanda for everything. I really do think the Lego sets look so much better than the Mega Block sets did. They just are far more appealing and far more fun.
I really wanted to love Mega Blocks, but I couldn't. I tried.
Yeah, Lego's the innovator. Lego's the innovator, Mega Blocks is the imitator. So it's best to be with the company that knows what they're doing.
Yeah, I gave up on Mega Blocks when I saw those Series 2 figures on clearance and I had no interest. If they had something like that with Lego, I'd be all over it. I have to wait and see. I think with all the stuff Hasbro's doing and Hot Toys will be doing and everything else, this is one that may not hit the forefront of my needs to purchase, but I could see myself maybe hitting eBay to pick up a minifig here and there.
Especially Hulk. Hulk makes it all worth it. Even without his face at this point.
Now, we also walk past the Tonner doll booth.
Ah!
Why?
Because Arnie wanted to. We walked by and he's like, ooh, Tonner dolls, let's stop. I'm not kidding. That was the level of excitement in his voice.
All right, there's a reason for this.
Uh-huh.
Morbid fascination?
They had a black cat there, and it honestly looks like the nicest doll Tonner has ever done, is the least dolly doll.
But it's still a creepy old lady doll.
Still a creepy old lady doll, but the nicest one they've ever done. You know, if you have a Hot Toy Spider-Man and he needs a hoe, Tonner's bringing you the black cat.
Why not? Just wait until they make a black cat. Because this doll's creepy. And you had a little bit of an issue because you briefly considered buying it. Because
I briefly thought my Spider-Man needed a hoe.
As with a few other things later on in the weekend, you got confused on the price. And when I pointed out the exorbitant price for the doll, which was about 1.2 Hot Toys.
I thought it was $60. I thought for $60, Iron Man could have a fun night out. When I found out it was over $200, no.
No. I will give him this. It doesn't have that creepy Tonner doll thing going on with the too big of a head, you know, and too many seams showing. Like, this outfit, I think, lends itself to this style of doll.
Yeah, I mean, it's a kind of nice looking outfit. It's the face that's just a little too dollish for me. It doesn't look at all human. It looks doll.
But with the mask covering most of it. Yeah.
And with the mask covering it, you're able to forgive it a little more. And I think I was drawn to it because Black Cat's one of my favorite characters from Spider-Man. You know, she was around during the era when I was really heavily reading Spider-Man and going through all of her various dramas and things. So I stopped. I looked. It will not be the first Tonner doll I buy. I may never buy a Tonner doll, but it does seem to be improving.
Yes, but still not improving enough to even draw my eye for more than 5 seconds.
Now, if you do collect these, the representative from Tonner did say they will be doing a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, but he wouldn't spill the beans.
And if you do collect these, you stopped listening to our show about 18 episodes ago.
You're not wrong. And then we made it over to one of my favorite booths, the Kotobukiya booth. You know, I've always liked their Star Wars stuff. I really have. Once I finally got past the fact that some of it's vinyl and looked at the quality of it, but their Marvel stuff is the majority of my non-Hasbro Marvel collection anymore. I bought another fine art statue in Manhattan. We went to Jim Hanley Comics, and they had a fine art Spider-Man statue half off.
Yeah, we were in Manhattan literally 20 minutes, and he had already purchased this statue.
Marjorie, how many purses did you get in Manhattan?
Only two.
I only got one fine art statue, and it cost a lot less than either of your purses. I think we're good. So, going to the Kotobukiya booth, I knew that I'd probably end up walking away with some items in my mind to mentally buy, and it certainly went that way. They have a new Fine Art Spider-Man coming. Of course, I see it the day after I buy the last Fine Art Spider-Man. The one I bought was from 2009. This next one is even cooler. He's web-swinging over a building, and they've done it just so you can barely see how he's attached to the building.
Oh, yeah, and the building itself has some incredible detail work in it.
Now, we have a little bit of a funny story, though. Marjorie's taking pictures of Spider-Man, and I feel really bad because when they bring these things to shows, I know we as press and the fans are always like, they didn't show enough. They didn't show enough. But behind the scenes, they are racing to give us something to show, and they bring out real prototypes and things that are their only one-of-a-kind items, and that's what the Spider-Man was. And Marjorie's taking pictures as Spider-Man starts to web-swing.
Whoa. Did he break?
No, here's what happened. Because it's a prototype and it wasn't completely formed and secured the way it should, they had like that poster putty goo stuff on his butt. And as I'm taking the picture, I know Spider-Man's pivoting, and it looked like it was intentional because it was right at, like, the side of his hip, the side of his butt. And I'm like, oh, it's got an action. Oh, wait, that's not supposed to happen. I thought it was an action feature. And Dan quickly took care of it, but it was, I thought it was intentional at first, because it looked really neat, like he was rotating or spinning, and then it was moving away, like somebody stuck a piece of chewed gum there on his butt, and then it started to get all stringy, and kind of let it out.
Oh, so that means the engineering department's going to have to put a notch in the peg that holds it into his butt there.
Yeah, they also had some twist ties that were in various spots, too. It was like we saw the wizard pulling all the levers that we weren't supposed to see.
But, I mean, I know exactly how this will go, owning several of those. There'll be a little brass piece or metal piece, and he'll come in two pieces, and you attach him to the building when you display him. And here it had to be all one piece, but I was just amazed, no pun intended, at that piece. It looked great. And the artifacts Mark 7, again, a lot cheaper than their fine art, these artifacts is. They're vinyl, snap together, but the high gloss finish they gave this Mark 7 and the dynamic pose, we've talked about it on the show before because they released some pictures, but seeing it in person, it's like, monkey fighter, I gotta own that.
Yeah, I mean, these pictures that you guys snapped look even better than the official pictures we were looking at, and it looks incredible.
I mean, when you start realizing that you're going to be at about $120 for something that big, it's a great price for a wonderful statue.
Especially with the light-up features and everything, that makes a great piece at a great price.
And then the last new thing we got to see was the Bishojo Black Widow that we've talked about here. And there's going to be a variant in a gray outfit that looks even better. And instead of the Daredevil mask at her feet, it has the Hawkeye mask at her feet. And she's a more brunette hair.
So she's a two-timing hoe? I want to understand. What's she doing here?
She's been in the comics for 40 years. She hooked up once or twice.
She is the Black Widow. You know, she's got to be prepared to move on at any given time. Dude might die on her.
But while there, we got to talk to Dan at Kotobukiya. Always fun to see him. And he walked us through the brand new items they showed, as well as the revisions to some items we've seen before.
And we're with Dan Luan at the Kotobukiya booth here at Toy Fair. And instantly, you have me wanting to pull out my credit card with some new fine art statues. These are always amazing fine art statues, but you've got two new ones that are being displayed here for the first time. At least this is my first time seeing them.
Yes. For the first time, we've got Spider-Man, and this is our fine art statue, sculpted by Eric Sosa. We'll also have an accompanying Venom piece, so you can kind of put them together and they can duel each other. Then we have our Artifacts Iron Man Mark 7, and this is from the upcoming Avengers movie. This is going to have a light-up feature on his eyes and chest, and it's actually going to be motion-activated, so with a wave of your hand, you can turn those lights on and off.
Now, Artifacts, that means it's the PVC?
Yes, PVC ABS plastic.
And it is remarkable looking with the glossy finish. You know, it looks like a car's finish to it, the enamel kind of reflection off of it. I thought it was a fine art statue when I first saw it.
Yeah, it's just incredible what we can do with just the right paint applications and yes.
And then you've also got here, I think that's a bit different, maybe a paint revision on the Magneto since we've seen him last.
It's a little different, but still I think pretty close to the paint master, which we showed at Comic-Con. This is an actual production sample, so this is what customers will be receiving in March.
I have to say, I really like the wash on it. That's why I noticed this. It's a little bit of a darker wash than what we saw at Comic-Con. Yeah. It really brings out the detail and the sculpt on that.
Yeah, it really brings out his body form and muscles. Yeah. Came out real nice. Just a lot of great details on it.
And then over in your Bishojo line, the announcements for this have been coming so quickly lately. Storm went up for pre-order, and as did the new Black Widow Covert Ops version. Why revisit Black Widow so soon?
It had a lot to do with timing. You know, the first Black Widow was sold out. Plus, the first Black Widow was in a smaller scale. As you may know, we increased our scale to be a little larger, and this was due to, you know, the fan feedback. Fans wanted a larger statue, so that's what we gave them. Plus, we're trying to coincide this and tie this in with the movie, you know. So that's why we just thought the timing was just right.
And I'm seeing here a gray costume alternate limited edition. It says July. Is that going to be Comic-Con?
No. This is going to be a limited edition. We haven't determined those numbers yet. We're looking at a Kodo US, and that's our official website, kodous.com. It may be a kodous.com exclusive, but details haven't been fully worked out on that just yet.
I like how she's got the Hawkeye mask there, too. You varied up the base a little bit as well as the figure.
Yes. With the original art by Shunya Yamashita, we had both Daredevil and Hawkeye together on one base. But since we decided to do this special limited edition, we just kind of separated it. So each release would have its own special element.
Now, is that going to be the final color for the regular version's Black Widow's hair, that pink?
No, we're looking at getting that a little closer to what you see with the limited edition, which is a darker brownish hair color. Maybe something like what Poison Ivy currently is sporting. But yeah, we're going to adjust the hair color somewhat with our Covert Ops edition.
All right, great. Well, thank you very much for the time. Great presentation here.
Thank you so much for stopping by.
So thank you to Dan for that interview. And yeah, there's just some great looking things there, and I know I am going to be watching very carefully. Marjorie, when we were just shopping after the con, was looking at a Fine Art Gambit like, I may need that.
I don't know why. I guess I've always had a little bit of a fandom for Gambit, and maybe it's just because he seems kind of dangerous and, you know, kind of like, you know, Wolverine's a little dangerous, but, and he's really colorful. Gambit, not Wolverine.
And I just picked up the Colossus, so Colossus has to hang with somebody.
Well, and a long time ago, I don't even know if you remember, Arnie, like over 10 years ago, when I was working in customer service for a wireless company, our teams had to pick comic book names because we had a big Marvel versus DC sales war, and I ended up with Gambit. I picked Gambit, I think, after consulting you of all the characters that were left. I did really great. Maybe it's Gambit's fault. I don't know. But I always had a little soft spot for him for some reason.
And speaking of characters you have a soft spot for, we then went to the HeroClix booth.
Yeah, they're making a Galactus.
Now, this is actually their second Galactus. They did a con-exclusive one before, but he's up to the 100 to 150 price point on eBay. And he doesn't look as good as this one. They're doing a large-scale figure you get in a box, one big figure plus some smaller figures. You get Galactus. They're also doing Master Mold, the maker of the Sentinels.
Ooh. How big is that Galactus?
He's about a foot.
And is he on a base like the other HeroClix?
It's a very small base, so he is on a base for standing purposes and stats purposes, but it's not like of that foot, 4 inches of it is base.
That's pretty cool. And it looks like it's the dark version, the purple and light blue.
Yeah, we saw this on the cover of a gaming magazine just a little while ago, but haven't been able to see any pictures. So to see it in person was quite a nice thing. And with gaming, we also went to the Top Trumps booth. Now, Top Trumps, if you're not familiar, is a card game, and they have a number of different licenses, horror movies, Disney, Marvel, Star Wars. And while there, we talked with Tom Liddell, who's the managing director for Winning Moves, the company that makes Top Trumps, about their Marvel card offerings.
And we're here in the Top Trumps booth with Tom Liddell, who stands much taller than I do. So we are looking at all the Top Trumps cards. Now, you've been coming out with these for a couple of years now.
That's right. Well, Top Trumps is around 40 years old. It's a UK game. Every kid grows up playing it, whether it's Ricky Gervais or Simon Cowell. They've all got Top Trumps. Even Kate and Will play Top Trumps. That's a fact, because we made a pack for them for the royal wedding. So, yeah, Top Trumps is something that... Very simple game mechanic. It's who's got the highest stat wins, and first one to get the full deck. Marvel, this particular pack of Top Trumps, we've done, I think, 4 or 5 different Marvel packs, but this particular one is Ultimate Heroes. So everyone from Thor to Blade, all the way through the top, kind of your top 30. Spidey's obviously in there, the Beast, Human Torch, Iron Man, keep going. So categories in this particular pack are based on height, intelligence, strength, speed, agility, and fighting skills.
Very cool. And you've got a box set of these too, a tournament set?
Yeah, so Top Trumps Tournament is like a collector's set, effectively. It's got six packs in it, so these are six exclusive packs. Which effectively, so you're going to get 180 cards in there covering effectively the whole Marvel Universe. I mean, it's obviously not, there's like 4,000 characters in the Marvel Universe, but a condensed 180. And to play tournament, you effectively have a hub, you load in the six decks, you spin the spinner, you're collecting pegs by playing mini games of Top Trumps, you can steal off each other, you can block, you can do all kinds of things, and essentially you're trying to find a tournament champion.
And where can listeners find these items?
Amazon, or your specialty toy store, if you go and ask for Top Trumps, Top Trumps Tournament. And if you get lost, go to Amazon and type in Top Trumps and you'll find it.
Great. Well, we're going to take some pictures here and great. People can see them on the show.
Well, I guess if Ricky Gervais played Top Trumps and it's good enough for me, maybe I'll check these out when I see him next time.
And then, I mean, the con was just full of the kind of household items we always talk about being at superherostuff.com and all these various types of toys. Avengers, man, they're marketing it to the gills. We've talked so much about what Hasbro's doing and things, but there are going to be Kroms. If you have ever heard of Kroms, they're warrior spheres. Basically, they're balls that have bodies inside of them and you can fold them out. It's kind of silly, kind of cute. Well, they're doing that with the Marvel license. Of more interest, because Kroms, you know, we may never see those at retail. They may be looking for a distributor.
That's the marvelous thing about Toy Fair. You see a lot of stuff that you will never, ever see again.
But a company called Monogram International, you may not know the name, but you know the products. Justin, we've talked before on the show about those Avengers resin statues that you see at Toys R Us that have the letters that spell Marvel or the letters that spell Avengers.
Yeah.
Or those cute little erasers that I impulse bought at Toys R Us.
The not squinkies?
Yes, the faux squinkies.
Yes. Or the keychain, like the Mjolnir keychain or the Cap Shield keychain. Well, all of this stuff comes from Monogram International.
Interesting.
And they have a ton of stuff coming out this year. And here's an interview with them about some of these upcoming products.
And we are at the Monogram International booth at Toy Fair in the Javits Center, New York, and they have a lot of different Marvel items on display, comic-based as well as movie-based. And we are here with Michael Norman, VP of Sales and Marketing at Monogram International. Hello, sir.
Hello, how you doing?
Good, thanks. So I noticed, first of all, we're just going to kind of go through your booth at what you have. I see a lot of the bust banks that are coming out, including a new Thor bank, and you are the people who manufacture these banks, yeah?
That is correct. We have the new Thor coming out this year, Deadpool, and the Red Hulk are our three new ones.
Is that thing one that's going to be re-released? I don't remember seeing that one before.
That has come out, and we're re-releasing it this year again.
And then you have the Marvel Erasers here, which I've seen in four packs at Toys R Us and various other locations. Is there going to be a second series of those?
Yeah, we started with a second series, which will have Black Spider-Man, Red Hulk, Lizard, and Black Widow. And we're looking to expand into other characters. And we also have secured the Warner Brothers DC license, too.
Oh, very nice. So you're able to get those in the same kind of scale.
Yes.
And then there are some little pewter figurines here that are about 2.5 inches tall.
Yeah, we do some pewter figures that are 3 inches of the different characters. We have the first series, which has pretty much all the Avengers on it, and Ghost Rider and Silver Surfer.
And a lot of people know you. One of big places we talk about online all the time is superherostuff.com, which has really been promoting the Captain America keyring and the Thor Mjolnir keyring that you have on display here.
Yes, yes.
Is this a line that you're planning on continuing with the different kinds of keychains?
Yeah, for this year we'll be coming out with a Hulk fist, and we're taking the Thor hammer and the shield and changing them over into the Avenger packaging for the movie.
Very nice. Now, also, we see that there are some pre-posed three packs of minifigs that are coming out that are Avengers-based, but comic book Avengers.
That is correct. Yeah, we came out with a whole series of different 4-inch figures in action poses. So we have some Avengers and then also some Marvel characters.
Did I see that they were also doing the Amazing Spider-Man movie-based characters?
Not yet. We're going to be coming out with PVCs of those two and 4 inches too.
And for people who are familiar with you from seeing you in stores, you're the ones who did the Avengers figures with the letters on the bases.
The resin figures that spelled out Avengers, yes. And we also did the ones with the Marvel that spelled out a Marvel.
Are those lines going to continue?
Yes. Yes, they are.
What is left to spell?
That's a good question.
Fantastic Four. You've got four figures and a lot of letters. All right. Well, thank you very much
for the time
and allowing us to take pictures. You've got some really cool items on display that we know our listeners are going to love.
Okay. Thank you.
So, yeah, from Monogram International, we get so much keychain-type things. We saw this all over the con. Glass clocks, more lamps, more pint glasses. Some really cool pint glasses, actually. iPhone covers, iPod covers, all over the place. But I gotta give best tech to a company that I can't even buy their items. It's called Metalware Technology of Hong Kong. This place has the raddest miscellaneous Marvel collectibles ever.
They did, and I don't think they even realized how cool of stuff they even had.
They have thumb drives, and you gotta understand this. It's like the Cap Shield keychain, but you get it, and it's in a box, and it looks like a piece of jewelry almost. It's this really high metallic Cap Shield. You turn it over, on the back, you flip something out, it's a thumb drive.
That's pretty cool.
And they had the Mjolnir hammer, and it's got a little button on the side. You push the button, and out pops a data jack for USB. It's a thumb drive. I was freaking out. These are the best thumb drives ever.
Except for if you have to put them next to something else that's already plugged in.
Well, actually, the Mjolnir one might be a problem. The Cap one you can put in at any angle. It bends 180 degrees.
Oh, nice.
They also had messenger bags, and I'll admit, I carry a messenger bag to work.
I'm sorry, it's an adventurer's satchel, you told me.
Yes, an adventurer's satchel. And I just have this lame black one that's starting to get worn out, and I'll say I have looked for a Marvel property messenger bag that I could carry to the office and not look really childish or stupid. And I've not been able to find one. There's several at superherostuff.com, none I can bring myself to carry. There is an X-Men one from this company that I would carry every day.
Yeah, that one looks pretty cool. The one with the Wolverine claws ripping through, showing comic book art behind it.
Yeah, and it's like 70s comic book art, you know, from the original Claremont run, and the X patch sewn on it, and it's got zipper pouches on both sides. I would carry this. It's subtle enough to be a usable backpack. There's also a really good-looking Cap Shield one, but it's just a little less subtle.
Yeah, I kind of dig the suspenders from his outfit on there, though. That's kind of a neat touch. But the shield is really, really Captain America shouting there.
They make a lot of other products, some earbuds that are nice. What I really liked about their stuff is they all went with that classic comic book
style.
The
vintage,
yeah.
Very nice.
But they do not have the license for the States. Now, they had a keyboard that I know I've seen at Superhero Stuff, so I'm going to be keeping an eye out. And if I can find some of this stuff in the States, I will A, be buying it, and B, report back here on the show after that. But very nice stuff. Very cool. They win best in show from me as far as miscellaneous non-toy items.
Kind of niche.
You know what they have that they did not have at the show?
What?
External optical drives, external hard drives that are vintage comic book covers.
Oh. Holy crap, those are nice. External hard disks. Oh, yeah, speakers. They had cool speakers. Listen to this. They're speakers that are really tiny, get good sound, and have rechargeable batteries in them so that you can charge them off USB when not in use.
Nice. Are those the little cubes that I was looking at?
Those were Transformer cubes they had there, but they have similar type cubes on their website at metalwarepc.com. Another really cool non-toy but highly collectible item. There's a company called Peavey that makes Marvel musical instruments, and I'm not talking like...
Well, Peavey's a big guitar brand.
Yes, they are.
All right, I've outed myself. I'm not very musical.
No, you just listen to music poorly.
No, I listen to poor music. There's a difference. But they have a number of lines of Marvel guitars, and maybe if somebody choose to buy it here at the show, by Christmas you might see a Marvel drum set for kids. But the guitars are for all ages, kids, adults, however. And we got to talk to them about their Marvel guitars, and here's that interview.
We're at the PV Electronics booth, and we got a press release from them talking about new Marvel-branded guitars. And we're talking to Tony here about them. And Tony, why don't you walk us through the various types of guitars you offer and musical instruments with the Marvel line?
Well, we've partnered with Marvel back in 2010 and started shipping product about summer of last year, 2011. Had a great success with it because we've had a lot of different areas and a wide range of products that we've offered. The line starts off with a series of junior acoustics. They're half-size instruments featuring the six primary Marvel superheroes, anything from Iron Man to Spider-Man, Captain America. The guitars are steel string instruments, they're real guitars, they're tunable, they stay in tune, and they retail about $50. Then you step up to what we call a junior series electric. These are three-quarter scale guitars, all electric, and again, the same six characters, but it's a real PV guitar, basswood body, maple neck, rosewood fingerboard. We go from there to a full-size series of guitars, very similar in character-wise, but they're full-scale instruments for larger hands. And then finally, we jump up to a model called the Predator series, and that features some darker Marvel characters. It's a darker Spider-Man or a darker Captain America, more for a more adult type of crowd. And we have a full line of accessories, including picks, nylon straps, leather straps, and even a junior drum set for the beginner drummer.
So for the Predator series, what is the price range on those guitars?
The Predator series are $399, $400 retail.
Which really isn't bad still for a good guitar.
It's a professional guitar. It's a real guitar, but has some really bold Marvel graphics.
Are there pictures of that on your website?
Yeah, there sure is. There's a full line of Predator series. In fact, we've just introduced an Avenger series Predator, as well as a Spider-Man series in conjunction with the releases of the movies.
Are they movie-based art or are they comic-based art?
They are actually part of the Marvel Universe, so they're not the movie-based art, but it's the character that the movie was based on.
And talk to me about the junior drum set. I've got a nephew who I would love to buy that for because he could bang it and annoy my brother-in-law. So how much is the MSRP on that?
Well, we've just introduced it here at Toy Fair. We're just kind of doing some tire kicking to see the interest. And while it's been very well received, it's also every parent's worst nightmare. So we plan.
Which is why it's a great gift for a nephew.
Absolutely. Keep it out of your house and into theirs. But we're planning an MSRP around $129.
That's great. And you hope to have it out this year?
Correct. Hopefully for fourth quarter, for Christmas season. And it does come with a drumstone, a really nice kick pedal, as well as sticks, and a real snare, not just a tom on the drum.
All right. Well, Tony, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
So, yeah, they have some pretty cool guitars going on there. I mean, I'm not a guitarist myself, and I don't know if I'd want a Captain America logo on my guitar. But, I mean, it's not bad art. There's some cool stuff going on there.
I like the art. I'm not a guitarist, and as long as I have a podcast, I just have to come to terms with the fact I will never have the time to learn it.
Is this something you wanted to do before we were podcasting?
I wanted to go back. I used to play musical instruments, and yes, I did, but I have to realize I will never play a guitar, therefore I never will need a guitar. But if I did need a guitar, some of their darker adult line is really cool. It's even nicer art than the stuff they had on the younger lines.
Yeah. I think personally, I might go the more subtle route and just have a regular guitar and maybe get one of those cool guitar straps that has, you know, like the X-Men logo on it.
Or guitar picks. But I kid you not, if they come out with that drum set, I know what my nephew's getting for Christmas.
A new uncle.
I will be disowned.
Now, switching over to more cutesy type of items, we went to the Funko booth. Pop Vinyl is probably one of my favorite new lines of 2011. I love those big black eyes and the styles. And I was disappointed to see they're not really doing a bunch more comic characters, but they are doing movie variant Avengers, where it looks like it's kind of the same body as they did before, but now Thor has a beard on, and Hulk has a more Ruffalo-ish face, and Iron Man and Nick Fury. Nick Fury seems to be the first all-new one of the group. And then we're getting an amazing Spider-Man variant with the gold eyes and the more metallic look to his outfit.
Ooh. Yeah. I mean, I dig these two, but like you said, the only one that really caught my eye is different enough from what's already out there is that Nick Fury. The rest of them are so similar to what's already out there that I don't know that I would spend too much time looking for them.
And they also, with the Pop Plush line, which I'm not as into as the vinyl, we have some. Entertainment Earth had a buy one, get one half off sale, so I bought them all. But they're really, I was hesitant to buy them at their $9 to $12 MSRP. When I found a sale, I picked them up. Well, all they showed at the show were more Avengers variants of the same thing, which again, not quite different enough.
I don't feel a need to own all of them, which is unusual for me.
Yeah, it is. And then over at Comic Images, who make a number of those super deformed plushies and all kinds of things, they also have the footsies, and they are now coming out with the larger scale footsies. And the footsies are perhaps a lot cuter. There's the smiling Wolverine and all these various little scruffy looking toys. But the best at this show, what caught Marjorie's eye...
Well, it caught your eye first.
I never thought the day would come that I would be interviewing Ty. And by Ty, I do indeed mean the makers of Beanie Babies.
Interesting.
After that speculative bubble burst in the 90s, I didn't even know they were still around. Actually, I did know they were around, but I'd never felt compelled to explore their booth at Toy Fair until I saw this new chubby-looking Spider-Man plushie.
It was like if they made Spider-Man out of Eric Cartman. I was in love.
Well, here is an interview with a representative from Ty about their new Marvel line of beanies.
I am at the Ty booth with Tanya, and you may know Ty and think Beanie Babies and the line of those plush toys, but they've got a lot of different plush toys, and there was a Spider-Man that caught my wife's eye as we were coming through here, and she wanted to know all about that.
Hi. Yes, we're really excited. We're introducing our new Beanie Balls, including Spider-Man, this year at the show, and Spider-Man is exciting because we offer this Beanie Ball in four different sizes, a Beanie Clip, a Beanie, a larger size, and a jumbo size, so a price point for everybody. They're adorable, and we are so excited. Everybody loves them.
Now, the only one that's on display here is the Spider-Man, and you've got him in various places. Can you let us in on what characters are planned down the line?
We're looking at a lot of fun characters. We've taken a look at the Avengers. We've got a lot of really good things in the works, but at this point, it's all a big surprise.
And with Spider-Man, it makes sense, because Amazing Spider-Man this summer. When do you expect to have these out on shelves?
They're going to be shipping into the market in the next couple of weeks, so we'll have them for the first quarter.
And will they be available every place Beanie Babies are sold?
They are. They'll be available in finer specialty stores throughout the country and also in our drugstores and grocery stores.
All right. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for that interview.
She said Beanie Balls.
Now, after the interview, she did point something out to me. There's already a variant of the Spider-Man and he hasn't even shipped yet.
Oh, jeez.
The first wave of Spider-Man is going to be comic-based and have white eyes and a matte black spider on his chest. But they're always improving, she said, or changing their lines. So then after that, it's going to come with the foil metallic eyes and a sparkly spider on his chest.
Yeah, I can see these being kind of cute. I'd like to see some other characters in that form before I could give you a full opinion on them, but it's kind of a cute idea.
I think anyone masked will work. I think Iron Man would look very cute in this kind of scale. I think you could, you know, go really off the wall and do like a Venom, but I think if you start doing people with faces like Thor or Cap, all of a sudden it's going to get really weird.
I don't think that's
going to
work. I really can't imagine seeing a Wolverine. That would just not work.
Yeah, they'd look like the dude from Scanners right before his head pops.
And another cool item that we found just randomly walking around the floor, we found a Marvel Superheroes versus Villains pop-up book. Now, we've seen Star Wars pop-up books that were done by the fantastic Matthew Reinhardt, who's just amazing at pop-up books, and he's just really great. This one is actually done by comic book artists. They're the ones who did all the art. And it's really cool. And it has little pull-out slides with all the information about the different people. Each page is going to be signed by the artist.
Yeah, it is really nice. And I was impressed because a lot of the artists in there are artists who I, like, know their names because I search for them when I need a new desktop wallpaper.
Nice.
Well, we have an interview with the publisher of that book who's going to give us all the details on the artists involved, the art you'll see, and when it will be available.
So we're here with Christine Bryan with Up With Paper, and you have a new Marvel pop-up book that looks very Avengers-based.
Absolutely. We have most of the main characters from the Avengers movie, as well as some of the other movies coming up this summer. It is a pop-up book with eight different spreads, each spread being done by different really high famous comic book illustrators working today.
Can you give us some of the names?
Absolutely. For instance, we've got the opening spread I'm opening now is Spider-Man, and he is done by Greg Horn.
Ah, very good artist. I have some of his stuff at home, and it's Spider-Man fighting Venom up yes. with some chains and everything. A very cool 3D representation there.
Absolutely. This one, you cannot see. This was unfortunately a black and white, no illustration, but it's going to be Wolverine, done by Jim Lee.
Very cool.
Then we do have Captain America versus Red Skull, and this is done by Dave Dorman. And then this, I will show you art elsewhere in a second, but this is The Abominator versus the Hulk, done by Joe Jusco.
Very nice. Very nice. And this is great because with this quality of artwork that you're getting, this is something that's going to be great for kids with the pop-up features, but also for adults who like these artists and know these artists and like their work.
Absolutely. This is very much seen as a collector's item, really for all ages, for kids who like the movies and like all of the different artwork, but certainly for the adults who are fans of the different illustrators and of the characters. That's why we really felt it was important to do each spread by a different illustrator, to have the different looks, and each artist is going to be signing the pages, and there will be pop-up information about the characters and also about the illustrator.
That's very cool. There's a fantastic 4-1 we're seeing by Alex Ross that is incredibly dynamic when the three dimensions really work, and the Johnny Storm fighting Dr. Doom, and yeah, I see the little information sheet there. Very cool stuff.
And this is obviously a prototype. There will be highly glossed and different also embellishments beyond this. This we have Thor versus Loki.
In Valhalla with the Bifrost Bridge.
There we go, and this is by Amanda Connor.
It is really a vastly different art style on every page, which is something that is great because no matter what your artistic preference is, right. Be it the more Photoshopped look or this, which is very vibrant but obviously more painted but with some computer enhancement, it has something right there for you.
Absolutely. We felt that was really important. And this is going to be a whole X-Men page.
I could tell there would probably be Banshee there in the back.
You've got everybody here. And actually, you have Wolverine. So Wolverine actually gets two places. He's in the group shot, and then he has his own spread.
Oh, Wolverine sells books.
Absolutely.
That's why he's in everything for Marvel.
Yeah, we've done that. So here you can see the Joe Jusco art on the Hulk, kind of how that's going to look, which is quite something. But yeah, we felt it was really important to give a little bit of something different on each page because the audience is so diverse and people do have their favorites and they feel very strongly about it. So we wanted something that was going to be something for everyone. This book will be available to the comic book stores through Diamond Comics is distributing us. We will probably be at Comic-Con this summer. These will be available for the comic book community alone over the summer and then wide to general specialty and high-end stores in September.
Okay, great. Do you have an MSRP for this yet?
Yes, $29.95.
All right, well, great. Thank you very much. It's a really cool book, and I suggest our listeners check it out.
Thank you.
So thanks for that interview. Yeah, Marjorie, not knowing the artist as much, did you like it?
Yeah, it's really neat. I told you all along, I appreciate the art and the work that goes into it. And I love the colors in it. Even if I don't care for the character necessarily, I can appreciate the art because I know that's not easy to do. I can't do it. I can't draw stick figures. I can't even write my name. And I'm not kidding about that.
And again, these are artists who I've bought lithographs from at conventions and everything. And so when I saw the pedigree of the artists involved,
And the fact that it's not a gimmicky 3D, it's not like, you know, your kid's 3D book, Cyclops sees Magneto, pull here to fire optic blast. You know what I'm saying? It's just pop-up for a 3D art representation.
Yeah, and it looks like pretty good pop-up, too. You know, it looks like it's decent quality. And
it was very intricate.
Yeah, and all the different artists in there, it's going to be varied throughout the book, so it's not like it's aimed at kids. I kind of dig it. I'm not a huge pop-up fan, but this is neat.
I'm right there with you. I couldn't imagine before seeing this book in my hand that I would say, I want to buy a Marvel pop-up book, because that sounds like the kind of thing I would see if I go to Michael's and I'm looking for like poster frames and they have that whole kids book section of coloring and activity books and you'd see a Marvel pop-up book there. This is not that. And I walked away going, wow, I'm definitely going to order that if it shows up, you know, at Amazon.
And last but certainly not least, something that we talked about a little bit ago, a few weeks ago, we got to smell it finally, which was kind of exciting, I think. We talked to Jads International about their line of Marvel colognes that they've got coming out to tie in with the movie. They've got 7 different kinds of cologne for the Avengers movie. You have Hulk, Thor, Loki, Iron Man, Captain America, Black Widow, Nick Fury. While I know they're not expensive, fancy perfumes, they actually didn't smell bad. I particularly thought Iron Man smelled the best, of course, because, I mean, come on, Tony Stark has the most class of all of them. It smelled very good. I think it would be fitting. Thor's was a little flowery for me, but he's kind of like a hippie guy. Didn't really care for that. Hulk's is just a very kind of clean, crisp scent. And Captain America was a very generic male cologne scent. You know what I mean? Like the generic male cologne scent. Nick Fury's was, I liked it. It reminded me of another cologne, but I could not remember what cologne that is. I still can't remember. And maybe if we
get Aramis?
I don't know what's that.
It's a cologne.
Oh.
Oh, hi, karate.
It was kind of a clean scent as well. Loki's was kind of fun. It's kind of a little bit of a darker scent. I think Loki had one of the best boxes, though, because it was very subtle with the Loki on the side.
Yeah, we didn't even know about the Black Widow, Nick Fury, and Loki one before going. The Black Widow is perfume, not cologne, just called Black Widow. Nick Fury's is Infinity Formula, and Loki's is perhaps the best named Mischief.
But they're good. I think I would buy them. I would buy them for Arnie.
You know, we've kind of joked on the show previously about how does Thor smell and how does Hulk smell, and I could barely believe my luck when the actual scent maker.
The scent maker.
From Jazz agreed to go on mic with me. Because truthfully, it went from within 30 seconds of this interview, me thinking of it as a joke, to realizing that he's dead serious and I appreciate it.
He was passionate about his scents and it was really great. He was so excited to talk to somebody who didn't treat it as a novelty. You know what I mean? Who like actually wanted to talk to him. Now, this company is also the ones that put out the Star Trek clone, the Shirtless Kirk, the Red Shirt, the Ponfar, yeah, which is a unisex clone, by the way. They also did the Leia and Lando colognes that were at Celebration 5 as well.
Well, we talked to him about all of these different colognes. Here is that interview.
Now, we're here with John, the president of Jads International, and if you don't know the name, we've talked about their product. They make the Avengers cologne. Before that, they did the Star Wars cologne and perfumes and the Star Trek Ponfar cologne, a whole bunch of geeky scents. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I have to ask at first, since it's my first time talking to you, where did you get the great idea for this?
The idea of creating fragrances for a character first and not a celebrity, I kind of stumbled into it, and I knew it was something that was going to work. But to test it, I knew I had to start with Star Trek and William Shatner, because those fans know and love their characters, and who wouldn't want to smell like Captain Kirk?
How do you decide how a character smells?
It's not as much about how a character smells, because honestly, we got a lot of comments about not wanting to smell like the Hulk. there's a lot of that. But it's more a fragrance. When I'm developing the fragrances, it's designed to help the wearer strengthen that bond, that affinity that they have for the character. You know, I know I've been a huge Hulk fan since the day I was born, you know, and an Iron Man fan. I don't know much about Captain America, but I wanted to create a fragrance that makes me feel closer to that character. So it's not designed to smell, hey, now I smell like the Hulk. It's, I can see, I feel like I'm more Hulkish when I'm wearing this.
And I'm not a huge cologne guy, so you're going to have to talk down to me a little bit. But, I mean, you create the actual scents yourself.
Correct. We develop them. We go through with the licensor. We worked on every one of those, all seven different fragrances for the Avengers movie with Marvel, just as we did the six, seven, eight different fragrances that we have for Star Trek. Each one, we meet with them and discuss the positives and the negatives of each fragrance. And in some cases, they will actually make the final decision. We'll say, here's three different options. We think any one of these are good. You know, and then they'll work it out themselves and decide, yes, that smells like a shirtless Kirk, or that smells like, you know, Slave Leia or whatever.
That is fascinating, and I'm not being facetious. I am truthfully fascinated by this process because I bought the Lando that was at Celebration.
Right.
And I got it because wonderful packaging. The cape is inspired, but I never actually, because I'm a collector, has to stay mint, I never actually smelled it or anything. And to be here and to be able to smell these different scents, it actually is the type of stuff I'd wear, but it's very interesting to think that there's licensors like, well, no, this may be more Banner than Stark with the scent.
Right. No, exactly. There are quite a number of people on the licensor side that it is their passion to be there as much as it is our passion to create a fragrance for that character. I mean, we've gotten, not to say we've gotten in arguments about it, but there have been some very passionate people, especially on the Star Trek side, you know, saying you can't put the logo with the bullet hole on Red Shirt cologne because there aren't any bullets in the 24th century, you know? And we're like, yeah, but it's still cool. It still looks really nice. So it is a labor of love. We work very hard on it. And we're very, very fortunate that we have a staff of people that get it. You know, the copy on the back of these boxes, the fragrances themselves do a very good job of being spot on to that character. You know, we're just very fortunate that we get to do what we love.
And now the packaging is great. I saw online that a 4-pack is being sold for the Avengers. Is that like a sampler pack, much smaller than the samples out here?
The individual bottles are each 4 ounces. It's about 120 milliliters. The and for each individual hero, you know, Patriot, Worthy, Mark 7 or Smash, the 4-pack is the exact same fragrance in a half size. They're 2 ounces each instead of 4 ounces, and you can get all four in one package.
And then you're showing off three here that I didn't know about. I knew about the 4 and the 4-pack, but you've got Black Widow perfume for the ladies.
Yep, that's a fantastically complex fragrance. It's a gourmand type of fragrance that starts out a little strong with a real sharp hit of citrus, but then it dries down to a really soft, almost like bitter chocolate almond praline type of fragrance. It's one of the ones we've worked the hardest on. I'm very proud of it.
And then you've got Infinity Formula for the
Nick Fury. Yeah, Nick Fury. The thing that keeps Nick Fury young is Infinity Formula. But it's not mentioned in the movie. It's something that us comic guys would know. But it's a really cool fragrance that really does a very good job invoking the Samuel Jackson version of Nick Fury. You put it on, you honestly feel like a badass.
So you've got
really works well. You've
got Sam Jackson and Billy Dee Williams, two of the coolest guys in sci-fi.
Yeah, no, we've been very fortunate. Like I said, those are the ones that in the office, you know, trying to get Lucas was fantastic working with them, but trying to get them to approve a tagline on Lando cologne being, it works every time, you know, where you're mixing two different companies and messages and everything else. It's just one of those great things. And you would be amazed how many times somebody comes into work and says, oh my God, what if we did this? And, you know, and it's immediately, we work in a very supportive atmosphere where somebody can say, well, wow, we have to make that, you know, so.
And then Mischief for Loki, great packaging. It tells me which character it is.
Right. Now, the horns were, if you know it, you know what it is. You know, Loki And Loki's actually is a unisex. It's not a cologne or a perfume. It can be worn by both because there's a lot of people, a lot of women out there want to be the bad guy too. You know, and we're certainly not here to say, you know, it's only for men. But it's a great character and a great fragrance.
Now, are these going to be available only for a limited time?
No, well, they are. The packaging on each of these is does have the official movie merchandise logo on it. We're in the process of working out what happens with them after the movie. The fragrances themselves will probably be available afterwards because once you make a fragrance and people start wearing it, they get mad if you stop making it. Trust me. We had that issue with Tiberius for Star Trek. But it may just not be in the same packaging for the movie. So, of course, I wanted to make a fragrance for Iron Man called Demon in a Bottle. Marvel didn't appreciate that, so we probably
They should have. They named the comic.
I know, exactly. But they said it's an alcohol based. And they're smart. I agree with them. But at first, I was like, oh, if I ever made an Iron Man cologne, I'd call it Demon in a Bottle. But you know, they're like, okay, it is an alcohol based product, and it could kill you if you drink it, and we don't think that's a good idea. And I said, you know, on second thought, maybe that's probably right.
Now the Lando and the Leia, those were exclusive. So, but I see them on display. Are those still available?
They are available exclusively at StarWars.com. Lucas loved the idea of it that they said, you can only buy it from us. So, and as it's something that we've manufactured, we wanted to show people that we've done different things here at the toy show.
Any thoughts of another one for Celebration 6 in August?
We have discussed that with them, yes.
Well,
I think that's contractually as much as I'm able to say.
Okay, well, John, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it, and I'm actually am going to buy some of these as well.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for that interview. Seriously, I honestly, you know, we joke, how would Hulk smell? I honestly thought until this interview that they would just take the cheapest knockoff colognes that you'd find at a Walgreens or whatever, throw it in a bottle and say, yep, this is Loki. But the fact that the licensees and the artists really put in thought to what smell will make you feel more like a Hulk is, I mean, it's kind of like how earlier I said I'm not very musical. I'm not understanding it, but I can appreciate it. Does that make sense?
I completely understand what you're saying. You know, I'm not going to run out and learn, you know, perfumology or anything, but I can appreciate somebody who's passionate about it rather than just, like you said, treating it as kind of a jokey novelty item.
Well, and they even gave them great names like the Infinity Formula. Hulk's is called Smash. Iron Man's is Mark 7. Captain America, Patriot. And Thor's is called Worthy. I mean, and Loki's being Mischief. I mean, it's perfect. I mean, they really put some thought into it.
Right down to the packaging, too. Yeah, the packaging is very well done. Very classy.
You know what I would love to see them do, though? And I wish they would do this. And, sir, if you're listening, please do this. I'd love to see them take that next step and make, like, YouTube television ads, kind of like how they had in the 80s for Obsession. Just have, like, a person there. Does she really want to kill me? Black Widow!
Oh, my God.
Avengers Assemble.
When being bad feels so good. Mark 7.
Hulk smash.
See, they need to do this. They need to do this. But I kid you not, Marjorie will be wearing some Black Widow before spring is out.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
It really did smell good.
And you're lucky enough to have had the chance to smell it before buying it off the internet.
Yes. It's actually, none of it made Arnie sneeze, which is unusual.
And again, they were serious. They were like a high-end perfume counter. They had the little sheets out and coffee grounds for you to smell in between to cleanse your nose palate.
I didn't know I had a nose palate.
Exactly. I thought a nose palate is something that you need to get adjusted when it's bumpy. Or is that the deviated septum? I don't know, but this guy would. So that is our Toy Fair 2012 coverage, and a lot of stuff, and a lot of cool stuff, a lot of Avengers stuff.
Yeah, looking back on it from just now, it almost seems like Avengers overload. But, you know, this is all going to be spaced out over the year and in different places. I don't think I'm ready to get tired of the Avengers just yet. I think I'll give it a shot.
I don't think I'm going to get tired of it any more than I get tired of Cap or Thor. You focus on what you like and you walk past the rest. I mean, that's what we said in the very first issue of Marvelicious Toys, is there's so much Marvel out there and we talk about the cool stuff. And I think that continues to be the case. There's going to be a lot of stuff. Out of everything at the whole Toy Fair, I can say Dark Knight Rises may make more money in the box office, but there is no movie this summer that is being as licensed as The Avengers. The ancillary income alone will make Disney richer.
Is that possible?
And yeah, I don't think I'll get sick of it unless the Wave 1 figures pull a Thor.
Is that a thing now?
That's
pulling
a thing,
Thor?
Yeah. And that's just the companies that were at Toy Fair. Sideshow, Gentle Giant, Hot Toys have all chosen to remain mum during this time, and I expect some pretty big announcements coming from them in the coming weeks or months.
Very true.
So thank you all for joining us for this bonus issue of Marvelicious Toys. We will be back at our regular format at the end of the month, where I will review the Avengers items that have leaked, at least, and maybe some more will leak by then.
I'm guessing they will. I'm guessing we'll have Wave 1 in our hand before next episode.
So until next time, true collectors,
make mine Marvelicious.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Marvelicious Toys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help our show by leaving a positive review for the show on iTunes. There's even more Marvelicious content at our website, MarveliciousToys.com. At the site, you can see pictures of the products we discussed, find checklists for Marvel toys, talk and trade with the Marvelicious forums, and much more. It's all at MarveliciousToys.com. We want to hear your thoughts on Marvel collectibles. You can leave reports of your latest toy finds as well as product reviews on our voicemail at 803-MARVEL-4 or email an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@MarveliciousToys.com. Marvelicious Toys is produced and edited by Arnie Carvalho. Podcast enhancement by Barrett. Marvelicious website design by Jason. Graphic design by Justin. Announcements by Brock. The Marvelicious theme song, Bam Pow Kablam, is composed by Joe Harrison. See more of Joe's work at www.StarWarsFanWorks.com/Lion's Mouth. If you also like Star Wars collecting is covered weekly at our other podcast, Star Wars Action News, which you can find at SWActionNews.com. Marvel Comics and all that the Marvel Multiverse contains are the intellectual property of Marvel Entertainment Incorporated, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Marvelicious Toys is a Venganza Media production. Copyright 2012. All rights reserved.
All right. Want to start us off, dear?
Maybe Marjorie should.
I was talking to her. She's dear. You're honey buns.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I always get us confused.
Yeah. He's not trying to spoon you at night, is he?
Are you playing with maracas?
No. It sounded like I was putting a box of Girl Scout cookies away and it was all crinkly.
It sounded like maracas. Like you had some...
Man in the Box brought some sound effect props this week.
I was really confused. I'm looking at my notes and then realized I'm looking at my notes for a Now Playing podcast. And I'm like, where's the start?
Maybe there is a breakout musical number in Avengers that we don't know about. Maybe that's the secret.
Not a bugle like a horn. A bugle like the eating chip. The bugle.
Right from the 70s?
80s.
Oh, they still make bugles.
Yeah. Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
And they're still delicious.
Huh. Wow. They smelled like feet. That's all I remember about
That's
them.
Fritos.
No, they both smell like feet then.
Maybe somebody was sticking their feet in your Bugles bag and then making you eat them.
She did have a little brother.
I did. I still have them.
I'd rather play with Black Widow than Iron Man, but
well,
maybe that's
course.
Me.
Well, of course, yeah, well. Do we need to delve into that conversation about which Avenger you'd like to be with?
Justin, who's yours?
Well, do you guys have a list of Avengers that if you happen to be in the area of?
Who's your top five on your Avenger list?
Black Widow's number one, Kobe Smulders is number two, and three is Nick Fury.
She's not an Avenger, she's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I think, you know, just he's so damn charming. I think Robert Downey Jr. might be on the top of my list.
He is the worst example of why not to do drugs.
Kids, remember, if you do drugs and almost die, you may become very successful and one of the top paid actors
and
in
very
the country,
hot so. Because he wasn't hot in less than zero when he was actually doing drugs in the movie.
Yeah, they were kind to him.
What I'm getting excited, though, trying to get back on track.
Sorry. Hey, it sounds better than saying over 2.6 inches long. 2 feet, 6 inches long.
I thought you said 2.6 inches long. I'm like, have you been on my adult profile? It's over 2.6 inches long.
Because that always, my mind automatically goes someplace dirty when you say role play. No, you be the bad guy.
There's a dirty Red Skull joke in my head now.
I know. I started going down that path. I'm like, you know what? I'm just not going to take that to the end of the path.
Something about a hydra, a spitting hydra.
I believe it's called a spitting Nick Fury. Get it? He's got one eye.
So I'm sure that on our first show in May, we're going to have a lot to talk about. Our first show in March, we're going to have a lot to talk about.
I thought we got a couple months off there.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. Much like if you're on Match.com. You say you make, you know, $230,000 a year, but really you make $30,000 a year. Big discrepancy.
It's only off by one. Only off by one number.
Typo.
Uh-huh.
Sniffle, sniffle.
Sadly, this Hot Toys monetary system did not work out to my advantage.
Yes.
I took him to Prada.
My last hot toy was 1/9 of a Prada.
And that is your saving grace right there. Isn't that what he said? Didn't he say, like, everybody in Britain played at Ricky Gervais?
Yes, yes. And they made a set for Kate and Will, but none for Pippa.
Pippa. She doesn't deserve them.
Pippa's getting some major tail because of being in the wedding and not wearing underwear, though.
Alright.
I'm guessing they will. I'm guessing we'll have Wave 1 in our hand before next episode.
That's what she said?
I was just asking pretty easy there. I was waiting.
I was just asking, or thinking what he had in his other hand, but that was already the joke I used on Facebook. And Twitter. And Google.
Pinterest.
LinkedIn to all my business associates.
Awesome.